Welcome to the final episode of 216, a Link to the Past Randomizer podcast. I am your host, Fear Agent. Yes, this is in fact the final episode of 216. I don't want to take away from the interview with our guests, so I'll talk about the end of the show after the interview. On today's show, we've got Kermit. Kermit was the first person to really make me feel welcome in the community. I purposely wanted the final episode of 216 to end with the guy that made me feel so connected to Rando and the community, and yeah, this was done on purpose, and I had a blast talking with him. Kermit is the best. I think he's hilarious. He's got a really great approach to the game, and we delve into his history and how he was one of the first in the community that was like making crazy skips and how that kind of became more common, but gosh, just love Kermit, and glad to have him on this, the final episode, 216. Let's get to it. Here's Kermit. Okay, so I normally don't just start talking random, but what I find interesting is, specifically with you, is I feel like you were like the first person in the community who was like, I don't know, nice to me or acknowledged me.
Wow.
I feel like when I started racing, the dailies were a bit bigger, right? Like everyone was racing on SRL and we're all doing the dailies together. And I kind of got involved in speed gaming, like pretty quickly, like trying to help out with that and selecting people for the restreams. I remember that was like one of the first things that I was doing as I got introduced into the community. And I remember always trying to pick you and Illis for the restreams. Do you remember this? Do you remember how often I'd put you on the restreams?
Yeah, I remember that.
And when I changed my name, like I first started going by my Christian name, like my actual real life name, I was like, I don't know if I should be doing this. So I changed it to Fear Agent. And almost immediately, like, you were calling me out on it. What was up with that?
I don't know, actually. I was wondering, like, I had you in my Twitch follower list, obviously, and I thought, who is that guy? And then, like, I went to your stream and I listened a little bit, so I kind of figured out who you were. And yeah, I mean, your name is pretty, I could remember it really well, so I don't know, it always stuck in my head even after a few years.
It's so funny because I didn't go by my name. It's Jesse, right? Like, nobody, I put it out, Jesse Munoz is my name. And I went by that for like, I don't know, a couple of weeks, maybe. It was like a very short time. And I think that's what put me under my radar, is like, I started out as my real name and really quickly switched to my online handle. And you were the only one to really notice, like, right away. I don't know, it just stuck out to me.
Yeah, I kind of remember when I first raided you, I think. Like, that was, like, one of the things I did. I mean, I didn't really have any viewers at all, so it didn't really matter, I guess. But I always made sure to, like, watch who's still in the race and who's still going. And I try to raid or host, actually, like the newer people who are like pretty new to the community. So that was my little contribution to make everyone feel welcome. I mean, I'm a bit trollish and people sometimes misunderstand me. But yeah, that was like my little thing to help out newer people, I guess.
Well, it worked because it made me feel welcome for sure. Like you were you were so nice to me like early on. And I just want to say, I appreciate that, man. That was really cool.
You're the only one I was nice to. I always hated everyone else, but you seem kind of nice.
Yeah.
You had potential.
Everyone knows how much of a hater Kermit is. No, dude, you've always been one of like the nicest people in the community. I think that's why people like you. True. Yeah. No, it's totally true. It's totally true. Like, you might meme and stuff, but man, you're one of the good guys. And you only play one mode, so there's always that too as well. You always know that you're only playing standard or open. But so you're from Germany, right? Like,
that's true, yeah.
Get that right out. What was it like growing up? What's it like growing up in Germany? Were you playing video games a lot as a kid?
Actually, not that much. I've always played with my friends. I've had like a Game Boy and a Nintendo 64. Mm-hmm. But besides that, nothing much. my best friend had a big brother and he had a computer, and that's where we played a little bit. But honestly, I haven't played that much in my early years.
So you didn't have a regular Nintendo or a Super Nintendo?
No.
Was Game Boy the first thing that you got?
Yeah, I believe so, actually. And I only got two games in like all these years. I only had Pokemon, the blue version, and actually Link's Awakening.
Oh, wow.
And that for the longest time was the only Zelda I played. Mm-hmm. Till like a few years ago when I started this Link to the Past randomizer.
So you didn't have like a huge love for Link to the Past then? You didn't never played it as a kid?
True. Yeah. I was never aware of it, actually. I think my friend played it and I watched him play it. And I thought it was kind of cool, but I totally forgot about it till like 2016 or 17 when I saw like a race on Speed Gaming.
So video games just weren't your thing then? Were they not popular in the area you were in or with your friend group? Or was it just you were doing other things? What were you doing?
I mean, I was just living in a small village, like a really small village with like 50 people. Wow. And like we had like four kids in my age, and like we only played outside and stuff, like soccer. I guess
football. I mean, you're talking about football.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't use soccer. We don't use that term here.
I know.
So is that what you're doing? You're mostly playing playing football and playing outside.
Yeah, pretty much. But then when I was like 14 or 15 years old, I kind of broke my knee and pretty disgustingly. Whoa. So
how'd you do that? Was that really sports?
Yeah, it was like in school and in like the sport hour, I guess. Mm-hmm. And we played something called Völkerball or Brennball. I don't know if you also have a term for that. But like I was running and I kind of slipped, and then I really landed awkwardly on my knee, and like a little piece of my bone broke.
Ugh.
And it cuts through the whole leg and
oh my gosh,
severed all like almost everything in there. So I was like,
my gosh,
yeah, I had to do several. Wait, let me check the words. I had to be in, surgery. To do several surgeries on my knee and was out for like almost a year in the hospital. That was crazy.
Oh my gosh. Hey, how old? Like 14, you said?
Yeah, 14, 15.
Oh man, there's never a good time to like have an injury like that. But when you're in your teen years, that's got to be rough.
That was disgusting.
What was the game called? What is it?
It was Völkerball. Brennball. I don't know.
What are you doing in the game?
So there are six mats on the floor, and it's like you throw a ball, and the enemy team can't catch it. Okay. If it lands on the floor, you can run to the next mat, I guess, or like run as far as you can. And if you can like outrun six mats, then you got a point for your team.
Interesting. I don't think there's an equivalent that we have.
I don't know.
But no, I love learning about new games. I think that's awesome.
Well, yeah, but that's pretty much the end of my football career, right?
Yeah,
and then I started gaming for real.
Yeah. So it was kind of a freak accident where you just slipped.
Yeah.
Oh man. That's rough. Are you still in this tiny town when you're a village when this happens? Oh, you moved?
No.
Okay.
I moved to a little bit bigger village, I guess, but it's still not in the city.
Is that where you're still at now? Or are you in a bigger city, or are you still in a pretty isolated area?
No, it's like a village, but it has like everything you need, and like a big city is nearby, I guess.
Okay. So what was it like growing up in a place that small? I guess that's all that you really knew, right?
Yeah. I don't know. It was like a peaceful life.
Yeah.
Like we only played for ourselves, and it was fun times, obviously. We had a lot of fun, but yeah, after that accident, it kind of was ruined, and I learned to play games after that.
Sure. I mean, since you can't go outside and run around, you're kind of forced into finding other ways to yeah. entertain yourself. So what gaming do you start getting into when you're laid up?
The first games I played excessively were Settlers 2 and Heroes of Might and Magic 2. And after that, Settlers 3 and Heroes of Might and Magic 3. And then World of Warcraft, pretty much. And yeah.
Okay, what's Settlers? I don't know what that is.
It's kind of a German, what's it called? Let me check. Like a build-up simulator for okay. where you build up your village and economy stuff.
Kind of like a SimCity sort of thing. Are you familiar with
yeah,
SimCity?
Yeah, kind of. A little bit.
But it looks like you're maybe doing battles or something too. So
Yeah. It also had battles against like NPCs and stuff. And other settlers, I guess.
So that was one of your first like computer games that you were playing, you remember?
Yeah, and I played that excessively. Like really? I haven't even played that many games in my life, honestly. I've stuck with a few I've played and played them excessively. Just like ALTTPR.
Sure. You find what you like and then you run it into the ground. So you said yeah. Settlers 2 and what was the other one?
Heroes of Might and Magic.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm familiar
with it. I never played it, but what were the draws of those games?
I don't know. Just
they looked very similar. Was Heroes of Might and Magic, it was very similar to Settlers, right? Or is it different? Well, it looks the same. And when I put side-by-side pictures, they kind of look similar, but you're not building stuff in Heroes, right?
Settlers is real-time, and Heroes of Might and Magic is round-based.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So were you into like the fantasy kind of stuff, or what was the draws for these games?
I honestly don't know. I remember the music was like so captivating, and like one song of the Heroes of Might and Magic series still is stuck in my head, and I kind of listened to it just to calm down. that still haunts me today. No, it's really? Like. It had really great music, and I don't know. It probably was also one of the first games I just encountered and like was pretty good. So I stuck with it, I guess.
Yeah, it looks cool. Like I love these like 90s retro, like DOS style games. I don't know. They're really cool looking. But I never actually played it because we didn't have a computer back in the late 90s really that could handle any of this stuff. But then you said you got into what, World of Warcraft?
World of Warcraft, yeah. And that was to the max. I started when it released and I played it for years. And yeah, like every bit of free time I had, I just played World of Warcraft, I guess.
Was this after you had healed up?
Yeah.
Okay. So after you healed up, were you nervous to go back on the field? Like, did you ever go back and try to play football or any other thing?
No, actually I can't play football anymore. Like it's like I obviously can kick a ball, right? But I cannot run and stuff.
Yeah,
so that was out of the question, I guess. The first few years I really had problems. Like my knee snapped like it was inverted a little bit. Like it always felt like that, and it hurt like hell. And so I was always afraid to run. Like I can run a little bit, right? But it's still a weird feeling, I'd say. And my knee or the knee area, there are no nerves left. So I don't, it feels just weird, right? If you poke it, it feels weird.
You just don't feel anything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh man, that is just a freak accident too. That sucks. Yeah. But you did have World of Warcraft, right?
So true. You
get to invest all your time into World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Gosh, I never played World of Warcraft, but I take it you found a group of people to play it with, mostly online, or did you have local?
We had like an early guild, and like we had guild meetings and stuff. Like I was all over Germany. We had meetups and stuff. That was really awesome.
Like actual where you'd bring your computer and play together, like LAN party type things?
Also LAN parties, yes, but mostly like we're just meeting up and having a good time, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we would play after that, of course, when we were back home. But
right.
But, like but if we actually take the time to meet up, we we did something else than play.
Of course. That's because you spent all the rest of your other time actually playing. So now let's go and hang out. And that's super cool. So you actually made real friends playing World of Warcraft.
Oh, like, yeah.
You could actually hang out with. Sure. That's super cool.
And I still know some of them. I mean, we don't talk as much, I guess, but like we always remember the good times.
Sure. I mean, gosh, it was what, almost 20 years ago? Maybe how long is it's been a long time since.
Yeah, pretty much 20 years. I think it was 2004.
And you started right at the beginning?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
On the first day.
So were you plugged into who made Blizzard? Were you playing other games? Like, how did you know about it day one? Do you remember?
I mean, I was playing Warcraft 3 a little bit.
I see. Okay.
Warcraft 2. It was Warcraft 2, I guess. Warcraft 3 came a little bit later, right? I don't even remember. But it was like one of the Warcraft games.
Sure. Was there any other MMORPGs or anything else that you started playing as well around that time?
Not really. I tested out a few of them, like Ion and Ragnarok Online a little bit, or Guild Wars, but I never stuck to them.
Mm.
Pretty much always came back to World of Warcraft. Well, in the last few years, I didn't play it anymore till I think like two or three years ago when they released the classic version again.
Mm.
And I kind of had some trouble as well where it didn't work for a time. So I started playing that again and I made like really good memories again for like 1.5 years, I'd say. Where we build up our own guild anew and like made some new friends.
Sure.
Yeah. And where I actually met my girlfriend. So that was also nice.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. So you're playing Warcraft, can't do any more sports, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about gaming as you. Was it just pretty much exclusively Warcraft? Are you spending all your time doing Warcraft? Or do you kind of expand out?
Not really, honestly. I came back to Heroes of Might and Magic and Settlers, and there was a Football Manager, which was really big in Germany. Like, it was from a German studio.
Mm.
I played that for a long time, but other than that, maybe a little bit of League of Legends, I guess.
Oh, okay. You got into League of Legends a little bit?
Yeah, but besides that, not really. I mean, I always stuck to the few games I played.
So you're never really playing on a console? It's all computer game?
Yeah, not really. I don't really like playing on a console, honestly.
Why is
that? I like things like Street Fighter and stuff, but honestly, it never appeal to me that much. My friends always had consoles.
Yeah, I was about to say, were you playing with your friends or something? You're just like, this isn't for me?
Yeah, pretty much. I really didn't like it when compared to like a computer.
Sure. So you don't have like an overall love for like the Nintendo or Zelda specifically?
Honestly, I do love Zelda. I'm watching other people play that. Like, I did watch a whole lot of other games, especially Zelda's and stuff, or Final Fantasy. And I never played these games. I just watched people play.
Where did that start? Do you remember when you first started watching? Was it on YouTube?
Not really YouTube, I think. First, it was obviously friends, right? I went to a friend's house and they played something. Like Link to the Past, my one friend, or I remember another friend that played Final Fantasy IX, I think, which I loved watching, but I've never played it.
So you do have an appreciation for these games. You just have no desire to actually play them.
Yeah, I do think I'm more of a watching type of person more than playing.
Sure. I mean, we're in a generation now that where it's way more common. I feel like growing up as a, I don't know when you were born, but as a kid of the 80s and the 90s, it's like, you know, Twitch is such kind of a new concept. It's like so many people say, like, why do you watch these people play games? Why don't you just play them yourselves? Yeah. And it's like, they don't kind of understand, like, oh no, you watch people that are like really, really good, or, you know, it could be, or you just enjoy the content that they make. It's just a, I don't know. You say it to my kids. My kids grow up watching. My kids don't watch TV like I did, or watching sitcoms. They watch YouTube and Twitch. And
For sure.
It's funny because I stream and I make content and stuff. And it's like, why are you guys watching these kids open up toys? It's like, I don't understand. But it's like, that's what it is now. I don't know. It's funny.
True.
Yeah.
It changes, man. So, yeah. And I'm also almost 40. So, yeah, I know these times as well.
Yeah. So there was games like Zelda and you said Final Fantasy that you really enjoyed watching?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know when you started watching Twitch, or like what turned you on to watching Twitch?
I mean, it was called Justin TV, I think, when I started.
Oh, okay. Watching. So you're way back.
Yeah. I don't remember anything specific why I was watching it, actually. Maybe a little bit of Asmongold in the World of Warcraft times, but I'm not sure, honestly. I remember when I started watching ALTTPR, but...
When was that?
I think it was pretty much starting 2017.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what was it that you watched?
I think I watched like Sakura Tsubasa and Willard play mostly. Those two were my go-to spots when I wanted to watch like ALTTP.
They were doing rando, or were they just doing the regular speed runs?
No, it was like rando.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you didn't grow up playing Link to the Past, but you had friends that you would watch play Link to the Past. So I'm guessing it had, there was some sort of nostalgia to it then, right?
I mean, I only watched one friend play it one time. So it, a little bit, maybe.
Sure.
I mean, like these kind of games, like how they look and the things you have to do and how they are made, I think it's pretty cool. And sure, there's some nostalgia in that, but it's not like I remembered like ALTTPR and actively searched for it. I think I just saw it somewhere on Speed Gaming on Twitch, because like a lot of people were watching. It was probably one of the tournaments, actually, where I just catched a glimpse of it, and then I stuck to it. Watching for a long time, honestly, and then I thought maybe you should try it yourself, and then I just started.
Okay, so you saw it on Twitch, you said let me give it a shot, and how did that go? Did you download your first seed and just attempt to figure it out, or did you have knowledge from watching the streams that you'd been watching?
So I remember I played the vanilla game once.
Okay.
And then I immediately got a seed, and it took me like 7 hours to complete it.
Yeah.
And after that, like I got better pretty fast, I'd say. I mean, that's normal, I guess. Yeah. I remember joining my first race, actually, and it had like 85 people. And I finished last place, 76th place. The others forfeited. And it took me like 3 hours, 45 minutes. But it was still like twice as fast as my first seed. Right. So I was still happy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And after that, I got better pretty quickly. And yeah. And then like my time to shine came when like... these big dailies, like everyone had the same meta, like check everything as fast as you can, right? And have a good route. And I think I want to believe I was the first person to actually skip unhinged, like skip random spots and or just go like try to follow the logic hard and like just go out of the route and check like weird spots, I guess. And that made me actually win some of these big races against all these super good people, which was crazy in my mind. But yeah, it got me hooked, right? Like, you know you're not the best player, but
you can
still win.
Yes, that's the drug right there. It hits that spot where it's like you don't have to be as good as all these big name runners, and yet you can still win. I mean, I don't have the full history of Rando because I didn't show up until 2018. So there's a couple of years where I wasn't a part of it yet. But I do remember the Kermit skips, man. And, you know, there was like, you're right, like 60, 70, 80 people joining the dailies, like pretty consistently. I think, you know, like the low number was like 40.
Yeah.
And it was the who's who, right? Like some of the biggest names that are no longer around were winning these races.
Yeah.
And then there's the few Germans that were messing up the meta, right?
Yeah, true.
And Kermit was one of them. And it's like you'd watch your races, because again, I'd put you on Restream as often as I could. And and you know, there you are skipping like big chunks of areas or making skips and not doing dig game and doing stuff. And it's like, whoa, you know, it was just a completely foreign idea, because I feel like everyone else is just play well and be thorough in your checks.
Oh yeah, it was like really crazy, especially if you watch back, like obviously when I won one of these big races and got restreamed, I watched it back and it's like crazy. My execution was, well, not terrible, but like not great. So, and then like I made up so much time skipping all these spots or like dipping Pendant Mire when without like Somaria and stuff, and then you find all your things you need. It was just a great feeling, right? Obviously I lost as many races, right?
That's the thing. Is you'd be on Restream and it would work and you'd be like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. How does he get so lucky? But we didn't see the six times that weren't on Restream where you ended up forfeited because you just ended up skipping your progression. Right? Like, yeah, that's the hard part. And I think it changed things. I feel like it's very common now for German runners to come in and just start skipping stuff. I feel like it's the Kermit plays are so synonymous with especially with the German runners, where it's just like, we're just going to be aggressive and make skips that are kind of crazy at times. But it works out, you know?
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I think that's more fun, especially for newer players. Like if you see that these things work, you have so much fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously you won't win them all and you'll most likely lose way more than you win.
Yeah.
But like if all the stars align, like you can beat Andy and stuff. Like I remember the first tournament I joined, right? I was in a group with Kern and Willard and someone else. And obviously I lost 2-0 against Willard, but then I won 2-0 against Kern, and like no one knows what was even going on, right? Because Kern was always a good runner and I was still pretty new. And then I won 2-1 against him again in the same tournament, like in the lower bracket side, and kicked him out of the tournament. That was absolutely crazy. And with my play style, and I mean, the meta changed.
Sure. Because then more people started doing it, right? Like that now, like all of a sudden the good runners are making skips and doing stuff. And so, and they have the execution advantage over people. So it's like, you gotta get even more lucky. And then the more people play the game, the more, you know, they learn the logic and try to solve all that. So when you started playing, did you find other German runners? Was there a decent German community that you felt like you were a part of when you started playing?
I mean, there was a German community, I'd say, but I was a little bit closed off from them because I didn't have that much time. I did try to play every minute I had time, but I that left no time to interact with other people pretty much. Obviously, I talked a little bit with like everyone I knew there, like Tear and Ravis and Dragonstrike. Yeah, but it was not as much as people would think or hope, and as much as it were a little bit later in the years, I guess.
It was just, was it mostly a time thing? Like you just didn't have enough time to really like create friendships and hang out and stuff? Okay. What changed then? Because it feels like you did become more part of the German community, right?
Yeah, a little bit. But I'm just not racing as much anymore, right?
Sure.
So I kind of use more time to talk with people, I guess, and have less time to play, honestly.
Do you remember joining the league with, was it you, Ravis, and Dragonstrike?
Yeah.
And you guys are always Team Hime, right?
True, yeah.
Which I still don't know what that is. That's a anime or something?
Hime is normally like the Japanese word for princess. Okay. But it was a reference to a song from an anime. Like a bicycle racing anime.
Okay. Yeah, and those are the characters that you have on your, as your like profile.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And I remember like Ravis was super hyped about this anime and like he was telling us all about it and he wanted us to watch it. And yeah, so we kind of used that name. And I mean, League was great, honestly. Like, it was so much fun. We had so much fun in these weeks. It was always like an up and down, right? Because we are very inconsistent.
Right. But I mean, that's kind of the style, right? Like, sometimes it works and sometimes it just really doesn't work. But I mean, season two, you guys was the first season that you've got joined and you've been a team ever since. I know Dragonstrike is since stopped playing and you guys had 2C last year, but your first season you guys went to the division finals and lost to the eventual champion Team Awesome, another German team, Yoshi and Hitsu and Ramon. I don't know, how did your team form? How did the three of you kind of get together? And if you can remember what that first season was like, if you know, kind of expound upon that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Ravis and Dragon always talked a lot. They were friends like for a long time. And I was talking a little bit more to Dragon, I'd say, than to Ravis. Ravis was more friends with Brogor and stuff. And I didn't talk with them as much at that point. But they were searching for someone else. And yeah, they asked me. Obviously, like we always thought of like friends and stuff, but like we were not that close yet. That changed like during the league season. Like we tried every mode and tried to learn and practice stuff. That was so much fun, especially because I'm really bad in like every non-standard mode. It's like almost everyone knows that. So they had to keep up with a lot. Especially like in these team race, I'm not very multitasking.
So the co-op was a whole new thing for you.
That was these guys, like they aged. They aged fast in these times when they had to team up with me. So we still try to have fun and stuff. And I think I played really well in my modes. Like I actually had a tie against
Hitsu. That's what I'm looking at. Yeah. So I'm like, it was crazy is your team in season one had two ties. It looks like Ravis tied Teto in the first round. And so you guys had to do another race there. And then you tied Hitsu. And do you remember that race?
Oh, that was so crazy. And like, it was the craziest race of all time because the mirror was an Eastern Palace big chest and I skipped that. And everyone thought, okay, this is over. Like 10 minutes in and it's already over. But the mirror was not needed. And I found the book somewhere in the end and I kind of managed to get this draw somehow.
Wow.
That was crazy. Unfortunately, I didn't win the rematch, right? But it was still
super
crazy
fun.
Good playoff for us.
That season two was really interesting because there was no invitational or open yet. It was just everyone, and there were 64 teams, and so you had some lopsided stuff. But when it got to the playoffs, man, there's some really, really exciting races. And it looks like your two races were against two German teams too, which is pretty funny. Season three is the first season of the Invitational, and you guys almost get relegated. Do you remember that? Which was crazy because you guys are such a good team. Like, I feel like you guys are go so up and down. Like, the inconsistency is almost bananas that it's like you could win a bunch of games or you guys can lose a bunch of games. You just kind of never know.
I mean, with our team, it's especially weird because, like, we were so unlucky. I remember, like, three instances where Dragon's computer just gave up or internet, like, crashed and he had to forfeit. Or Ravis, like, hard last located and still only lost by a few, really heartbreaking losses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And season three was almost over. I think we were last place for the longest time. And then, but Tedo's team, they were only a little bit ahead, I think. And then we won both of the, was it Animizer races? Yep. I don't remember. Yep. I think it was Animizer races against them. Dragon and I did that.
Yep.
And that was so close.
Those are some of the most fun races that I've ever watched. Yeah. Because it was the two, I use this term loosely, worse. You just guys happened to have, you guys were not terrible, but you had the worst records that year.
We were pretty bad at that point.
I know, but you guys are all good players, like you, Dragon, and Ravis, and even the other team, like Tedo's, were really good. All these good runners, and you just happen to have the worst records, and you're fighting for staying in the Invitational League, right? Like, it was so exciting to watch these teams, and it was close. Like, it was really close. Those two games were really, really, really fun. Some of the most fun races that I've ever watched.
You know what I always remember when a new league season starts, when you were like talking about it beforehand and you were like going over the teams that
the reveal
you
stream.
Always said, oh, Team HEMA this time this time they'll obviously go far. And then we would just like be dead last again.
It's because you guys are good. I mean, I've always been a big fan of you and Ravis and Dragon Strike, and I always expect good things, and then you guys let me down. So what can I say?
The funny thing is, like, about this, I am by far the most inconsistent player, right? Because I'm playing way too skippy.
Right.
And in League, it always was Ravis and Dragon who fucked up. like seriously. I think I won by far the most races out of us three. And And then this season, when we had 2C instead of Dragon, who's like this phenomenal entrance player, and we finally got an entrance player, I'm the one that is terrible and loses every race for our team.
You did.
That was so heartbreaking.
You did go 0-7. Yeah, that's rough. Do you think it's that you're just not playing as much, right? Like, it feels like I don't see you racing all that often.
The problem with League is that there are so many modes that I don't enjoy, to say it nicely. And the ones that I enjoyed, I kind of lost, unfortunate, this time. So, yeah. It's just unfortunate, right? I just can't play these other modes well. I think Animizer and Swordless and stuff is okay, but everything with keys and entrances, that's it for me. I wish I would be better, but my head can't wrap itself around it. Like, if it takes too long, I'm also losing concentration. Like, the 2-hour mark is where I'm getting...
You tap out a little bit there.
Yeah, kind of. I mean,
it's funny to think back when, you know, the good old days of those big races is everyone was playing standard and open. That's just kind of what the most popular modes were. And entrance was newer and, you know, it was more intimidating. There wasn't as many people playing it. Now entrance is probably the most played mode. Cross keys is probably the most played mode.
Yeah.
It's just a different time now than it was back then. Do you miss those days? The big races and stuff?
Oh yeah, definitely. The meta has changed obviously with that. Like mostly people play either tournaments or like ladder, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this 1v1 style has brought back the playing safe meta, I guess.
Sure.
I try to still play my style, which doesn't really work too well in this version, which has been going on for like 5 years now, I think.
Yeah. Since about 2020, I would say. So like, we're like 4 years in. Yeah.
Yeah, but I do think it might change again with the newest ladder announcement that they will bring back bigger races.
Yeah.
So I think people will start to shift the meta to skip more again to win these races. And that's what I'm hoping for, that because I think these races are way more fun, honestly.
I think it's better for the community as well. I feel like 1v1 is so isolating, right? Like you're playing with one person. And then like in the ladder, you kind of get paired up against the same people a lot, right? Because you're kind of all in the same skill level. So you're not really meeting new people. You're not getting a chance to race against new people. And then also learning. I feel like that feeling of that you talked about early on, where it's like, I got to win against some of the biggest names, and you knew that you weren't as good as them. Like that goes away. That feeling kind of goes away. It happens less often because again, you're racing people of the same skill level. And so you don't get to compare yourself against them unless you're doing a tournament race. And I don't know, it's just different. I feel like there's a lot of positives that can come from group races.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like maybe that'll give me like a second wind or something. Cause I like since League, obviously, I've been pretty bummed out because I made our team like lose pretty badly. We barely missed the relegation again. But that was a point where I almost thought, okay, maybe you should actually stop. But then again, I'm still having fun playing these normal modes, so why should I stop, right?
Yeah. Is Team Hime going to come back for Season 7 next year, you think? You can't have League without Team Hime, right? Like, it's been a part for consistently since Season 2.
The problem is we probably have to search for a new person again, because 2C, I think, doesn't want to play anymore.
Yeah.
He needs a pause as well, and Ravis said he wanted to play again, and he asked me if I wanted to play again, and I was split on it because I don't want to let my team down again like that, right? But if Ravis is fine with it and still wants to race with me, then I'm fine with it as well, because like League is always fun, even if you're like losing stuff, these races and like the preparations and stuff, like it's just fun, honestly.
Right.
And also interacting with the enemy teams, it's really fun in my mind, and everyone should try it out if they get the chance to join like the Open League or stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's really fun.
Yeah, just playing with friends makes it a lot better, right?
Yeah.
Like, no matter what you're doing, you get a chance to do it with your friends, then it just makes everything a little bit easier. Unless you go 0-7, right? It feels like you're letting your team. That's the hard part is losing, and when you lose on your own, it's one thing. Like, it feels pretty shitty to lose by yourself, but when you lose and it affects other people, it feels kind of worse. Like, that's, I definitely have had that feeling a lot. Because I partner with like the top tier runners like Gamachu and Ramon and Shireen. It's like these guys are winning everything, and I'm bringing in all the losses. And it's like, God, why can I get some wins?
Yeah, this 0-7 was really heartbreaking. Like, I felt terrible after every match.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's rando as well, right? Maybe next time I'll win 5 races again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or maybe 7-0 next year.
That won't happen.
No, come on. I'm Farage's predicting it for I'll do the prediction stream and Team Him A wins the league season 7.
Oh no, then we'll get relegated for sure.
Do you feel like the league allowed you to feel like more a part of the community, or did that change at all, specifically in the German community?
I'd say league in itself didn't change my standing in the German community, but like we've had 2 bigger German tournaments these last 2 years, and I try to be more involved in that.
Mm.
With commentary and tracking stuff. Not as much as I would love to, but here and there, I guess.
Yeah.
And just talking with all these new people you're racing against, right? Because like there are many newbies from Germany that started playing because of like bigger streamers that joined the community, like Denson. I don't know if you know him.
I've heard of him. I've seen him. I can't understand what he's saying, but
yeah,
I see his numbers and I see how popular he is for sure.
Yeah, he brought many new people. Teto has also a pretty big number of viewers at the moment, and from his community we also got like some new players, and yeah, just many new Germans in general. And yeah, I try to be a little bit more involved as much as my time allows for that. But yeah,
do you feel good about like your involvement in the community of rando, not just the German community, but in the community overall?
I always wished I could have done more, I think, but every time like there were new or the council was searching for new people, I always thought, okay, maybe this time I should do it. But then again, I myself am a very niche player, right? I wish we'd only play Standard Open and Ambrosia, maybe. So yeah. I don't think I can actually like contribute for the other players if I join a council like that.
But I think it's important to have people that are like rooting and trying to keep the regular modes alive, right? Like if you have just all entrance players, cross keys players making all the decisions, then we need voices for other modes, right?
I guess so. But like if we're being honest, like even the newer players enjoy like key modes and stuff and entrance modes. I've seen some new players that started like maybe less than a year ago and are excessively playing cross keys and stuff. So
It is true.
I don't know.
Yeah, it is true. So, I mean, you've been playing for so long. Do you feel like your role is someone that is like welcoming? Cause I feel like, again, when I came, you were super welcoming. Like you don't take yourself too seriously. You'd like to have a good time. You're nice and funny. Like, do you feel like that's your role? But do you feel like it's lessened because we don't have those group races?
Oh, yeah. I think that's lessened for sure in my mind. Like, I'd say group races, I was way more helpful at that time. Because, like, I was watching these group races till everyone was finished, right? I stayed till the last person when I had time, obviously, but it was most of the time at that time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I tried to give some people some tips and stuff, right? I linked some tutorial videos or something like that. You're not the only one, I think, that had his early days like spent with me. Like Gamachu was one of the players I'd say was also a little bit influenced by my playstyle, I hope. I guess
For sure.
I think he was also a skipper in the beginning.
Yes. That changed he still is, but
that's true, but not as much anymore. Yeah. But he doesn't need to. He's good enough to not skip as much.
Yeah, now he just immediately goes to all the progression no matter where it is.
I wish I could learn from him.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, but I wish I could contribute more, but time really is an issue now.
Yeah.
Yeah. As much as I can, I'll help for sure, sure. If anyone has something.
There have been times where you've stepped away from the game for extended periods of time, right? Is that due to burnout or is that more just like real life stuff?
I do think you should step away for certain amount of time after a while, because burnout is real in Randall.
Mm-hmm.
And I see some people that are riding in that direction in my mind, like Magno. I think he's playing a little bit too much. No hate, Magno, but yeah. Be careful, because like as much as you get better, there is like this invisible wall when you can't get any better, or it takes a long time to get better, and you'll get frustrated if you play that much and you don't win more than before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it is a bad spiral if you get angrier and angrier, if it doesn't work out as well. So if I have a really, really bad time like that 7-0 or 0-7 in the league, I'll step away for a bit, at least like 1 or 2 weeks, and then yeah, slowly start playing again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone should do that. If the game is starting to make you angry, just give it a small pause and then start again fresh.
Do you enjoy tournament play? Because you've joined a fair share of like the main tournament type stuff, right? Like, I feel like there was a time, gosh, this is basically what I'm going to do with you, Kermit, is just reminisce about the good days. But I feel like there was more community involvement, like with the qualifiers, where everyone's trying to constantly calculate whether or not they're going to make it and trying to figure out who's going to go in. And now we have asyncs, which kind of eliminates that whole process and like the community feeling of togetherness, right? Like we're all in it together.
I really enjoy tournaments, really, really do. Always love to talk with the people that are in my groups and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, my tournament records have been abysmal. I don't think I've ever been better than top 16.
That's and still that pretty was good, Ben.
Years That's ago. Years yeah. ago. Like 2020 or 2019 against Gem, I think.
Wow.
And that's about it. Like, I'm always dropping out pretty early. Yeah. So in general, I love the idea of tournaments, but it's always over pretty quickly for me. And obviously, another problem is that there are so many tournaments, but like 80% of them I can't even join because they're all about modes that I don't enjoy.
Right.
I wish I could join more.
You didn't want to join the co-op Kroskies tournament?
No. Nope. And I don't think anyone wants to play with me in that tournament.
Oh, man. I just, you know, when I think of you and I think of our times early on back in 2018, 2019, 2020, I don't know. There's just, it's a real nostalgia bomb. Because again, it's been 6 years now, like since this happened.
Yeah.
And just, you know, chatting in SRL as we're waiting for those races to go and kick off and, you know, putting you and Illis in every restream that I could. And even though you guys just did it almost every day, it was just good, really good times, man. I just really enjoyed those times. They're a lot of fun.
Same. I love these daily races. The big ones, you got 100 people and you always watch like SRL. Oh my God, no one's finished yet. And you're almost done.
Yep.
Can you win again? Or is someone sniping you?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Those were good times. I always put in dot time to see, to kind of mess with everyone to see if, you know, you pick up something here or there. But all right. I'm going to ask you the question I ask everyone. And that the question is about tilt.
Yeah.
How do you get tilted? And whether it's in the middle of a seed or at the end of the race. And if you do, how do you handle it? What's your way of dealing with tilt?
Normally, I do not get tilted pretty easily. I do get tilted if I have consecutive bad performances in races, right?
Mm.
But like if it's one bad game, it doesn't faze me at all anymore. Like really, I have my playstyle and I know how good or bad it can go. So yeah, my mind is like set on that. It can be both ways, right? I can get tilted if I lose like 6 races or 7 races in a row. And then like try to do something funny in your mind. Like I tend to, when I'm in a very bad spot, I tend to play really wacky in my next race so that it almost can only fail. But if it works, then it is such a great feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it fails, actually, you know beforehand, right? It could never work.
Yeah.
But no, and like if it's too bad, just like take a few days off, I guess. That's how you untilt in my mind.
Sure.
Play the things you enjoy the most and try to not be too competitive every game.
Yeah. I think your mindset going into it is where you win. I think that's the winning like mindset.
Yeah.
Because you know that your play style is volatile, right? You know that sometimes it's going to work and it's going to work really well. Other times it's going to fail and it's going to fail hard, right? Like you know that, like, you know, you have that mindset going in. And I feel like where there's a lot of people, myself included, where I'm like, oh, I'll skip one thing. And it's the one time that I skip something. And it's like, that was it. And I'm just like, motherfucker, like, why is it the one time I skip it doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, and so like my mindset going in is already messed up, right? Like it's not, I'm not prepared to handle whether or not I skip it. So I love the fact that you're able to just to be ready for whatever happens and not allow it to affect, you know, your emotions afterwards. I think that's really smart.
I mean, that's my legacy is, especially for the next few months when the latter big races will start. Try it out, people. Just give yourself a few slow spots and say you skip them every time and then see you win like one big race against like 80 people. It feels so good.
Yeah.
It feels so good. And no one remembers if you're like 50th place, like in the other races. Everyone just remembers, oh, damn, Kermit won against all these good players. What? Again?
Oh, man. Good stuff, man. Well, I said it in the beginning, I'll say it again here at the end. Thanks for making me feel welcome in the community, man. Like it really was important. It made me feel like I could hang and just be a part of this whole thing, and it's been a blast. So super glad you joined, and thanks, man. Thanks for doing
this. It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And I had such a blast having Kermit on the show. I have so much love and respect for the dude, just a huge fan. And a big reason why I stuck around and became so involved in the rando scene is because of Kermit. He really did make me feel welcome and like we were friends. I loved racing with him and against him, and I'm always going to root for him, especially him and Team Hime. Just big fans of Kermit and Ravis. It just feels real fitting to close the show out with him. You know, 216 was never really about rando. It's always about the people. I just use rando to get to know the people more, to shine a light on the people in the community I either thought were awesome or seemed awesome and wanted to get to know more. I'm a very emotionally led person. I think there's some bad things about that. I can let negative situations affect me and cause me to make rash or poor decisions. But there's also some good things about being emotionally led. I'm very passionate. When I invest in something, I don't half-ass it. I put myself 100% in. I sometimes even go overboard, which could be some of that the bad aspects of that. But it's because I can be led by my emotions. I fell in love with rando really fast. It is such an amazing game, and I found the competition to be like super thrilling and wholly unique. But I wouldn't stick around for 6+ years if it was just the game that I enjoyed. I've made real, true friends here. What kept me around is all of you. It's the community. And now it's time to close that chapter. I'm not leaving the community per se, but I won't be around as much. I have no real interest in racing. I'll get to that shortly. But I'm stepping back from any and all admin and moderating positions. And now I'm bringing this podcast to a close. So why did I start with talking about being emotionally led as I close out the show? It's because I want you all to know that this decision isn't a case of that. It's not, I'm not angry about some race, not tilted. There's no disagreement in one of the discords that's like fuming me. I'm pretty disconnected. I'm not even coming off like the high of winning like a big race or a tournament or anything. So the decision is being made with like a clear conscience and a right mind. So let's get to that. Why end the show? Well, there are multiple factors in play. Let's start with the game. Love Link to the Past. Love Link to the Past. More specifically, I love Rando. Think of any game, Link to the Past was made to be randomized. It really feels that way. I think the devs and Synak and all those that have worked on making this game awesome are amazing people doing the Lord's work. Rando is awesome. As much shit as I give it, Rando is awesome. As much as I love it, I've loved and craved the competition even more. Racing this game is so cool, and it's been an amazing experience for the last 6 years. Racing drew me in. I thought the game was cool, and I think everyone has a very similar story where the game, you see the game, and it's cool. It's a really cool game, but that racing element, you know, brings it over the top. But my competition days are over. I'm still playing here and there. I'm in the Survivors of Hyrule tournament. That's mostly because I want to support Moogle and this like awesome tournament that he's developed. I love like these unique competitions that are striving to do something different, that aren't just like, hey, let's pick a mode and make a tournament about it. This is something wholly unique, and I think it's really cool and really want to support Moogle. And who knows? I love the league so much. Maybe I come back for that. It's less likely, though, because Gamma is like the most requested teammate. I think everyone asks Gamma if he's available when the league comes around. I've been lucky enough to team with him for 5 seasons. It's unlikely that Gamma wants to come back with me. I mean, he's got so many different options and opportunities. So he'll probably want to team with other people. I'm cool with that. I talked to Ramon on the show recently, and he talked about the competitive drive and his experience with it. Great episode, by the way. Just going to plug that here. And I feel like I'm in a very similar space. I'm done. I'm done. I'm too competitive and not good enough to get where I want to be. I'm not in the class of the Gammas or the Zelgas or the Andes or the Telethars, and the list goes on and on. The GGWs. I may have had a chance a couple of years ago when I was in the thick of the grind, but now it's over. I don't have that drive to get there, to play multiple races a day or week. The will or desire to put in the time, it's just not there. I was going to try and qualify for the ladder invitational, the retrance one that's going on right now. I think I had a pretty decent record. I was on my way to qualify, and I lost to Zelga. Unsurprisingly, I lost to Zelga, and it hit me. I'm not beating him. Just not beating the top tier runners. Sure, I'm fairly confident I could qualify, even with like how little I'm playing. But as soon as I enter the top 16, I'm gonna get smoked by a wall kick or a Telethar or a Shulzer, and I'm just too competitive to be okay with losing. I know it's time to call it a day. As amazing as I think the game is, and it's amazing, love it, I can't enjoy it and not race it. And I know me, and I know my personality, especially with these last few years I've worked through things with a counselor. If I keep trying to grind at that level, if I try to reach to the spot that I want to be, I'm just going to be miserable. So it's time. The last 6 years, I've put so much time, energy, and money into this community because of my passion. I do it not because anyone asked me to, but because I love it. I've loved it. I started out early volunteering for Speed Gaming, helping out with the dailies at the peak of their popularity. I used that to try and be noticed and meet people. I wasn't getting noticed with my play, that's for sure. That ended up leading to the creation of the league. That again was to make friends. I remember coming up with it, brainstorming with people like Allison and Shireen and Wayne. The original concept was to create a tournament with competitive play that didn't cause burnout. Back then, tournaments were long, real long. And by the end, everyone was so burnt out of the game. It was a totally different time. We didn't have a ton of tournaments, just one really long tournament that lasted forever. And everyone would get burnt out. I thought, how do you relieve some of that? Well, how about not having to play every week? And then the league was born. And it was awesome. People coming together, creating teams, logos, names. I loved seeing how creative the community was. The league succeeded my wildest expectations. And that wasn't because of me. That was because of all of you, this awesome Rando community. I just offered up the platform. Running the league was amazing until it wasn't. Damn, being emotionally led. It got me. It got me. There's stuff in the league that happened that got me. Then came 216. I first remember coming up with the idea for the podcast in the shower one day. For some reason, all my best ideas come when I'm showering. I don't have anything to record it with. It's always frustrating. I was like, oh, I had a really good argument for that, but I'm taking a shower. What am I going to do? I thought it'd be cool to have a show that focused on all the cool people in the community that I was friends with. At this time, the community was fracturing into smaller segments. Gone were the days of 60 people races with everyone sharing their experiences, talking about different routes or how did you get there so fast, and, you know, just seeing a glut of finishes happening within seconds and minutes. The ladder was thriving, more and more tournaments popping up. People found their own smaller group of people to hang with. I do think that was cool because everyone found people that they were like-minded with and could truly become friends with. But that separation also created animosity. And I know this because I was a part of the groups. I was a part of a lot of the different smaller groups. It may not have been all public, but I saw enough of it. It's just this growing animosity between groups. This is also fueling my hatred for Discord and social media, as well as like the American political landscape from the last 8 years. There was just so much division. And then when it comes to like Discord, trying to communicate with keyboard can lead to really dumb arguments because you can't read tone or inflection in text. Someone might be joking, but if you read it wrong, you create a whole other situation. I've seen it happen plenty of times over the last 6 years. Hated it, been part of it. I knew how awesome you all were. So why not give your voice so everyone can actually hear who you are? I've loved hearing everyone's stories. The first person I wanted to get on the show was Zach the Booker because I knew how hilarious he was. And yet, one of the most polarizing people in the community. Chickened out because he was a little bit more polarizing and I played it safe. I never asked him. Went the safe route with a few of the more popular people in the community, started with Dante and Gamachu. I really wish I did have back on the show though. I've loved recording 216. Talking to the guests has been so much fun. I've learned a lot. I've grown from hearing your stories. I'll always be grateful for everyone that agreed to do the show and everyone that's listened. I think this last season, season 5, was my best season. I feel like I finally found my voice. I feel like I finally became a good interviewer. And I had a goal with this season, to get the stories from people that were less well-known. Sure, I had people like Shady Forest and Ramond on, but I loved getting to hear from those who weren't the biggest name. Those who might be a little bit more introverted or quiet. I had a blast. Season 5, in my opinion, was the best of the show. Let's go out on top. Here are a couple of the realities to go along with it. The download numbers this season have almost dropped in half. It's been pretty demoralizing to do what you feel is your best work and to see the numbers go backwards. It sucks. It's something as an artist that I've really struggled with. The old Field of Dreams line, if you build it, they will come, has never really panned out artistically for me. This is not a slight to all of you that have continued to listen and support the show. You have my eternal gratitude. Seriously, like, thank you so much. But seeing the numbers continue to shrink just have honestly been demoralized. Is there ways to promote the show and make the numbers grow? Sure. At this point, am I willing to put the time, money, and effort in? Nope. So there's that. I'm not really playing the game. And unlike a lot of people, if I'm not playing the game, it's hard for me to be invested. As I've talked about, I'm emotionally led and passionate. If I'm not fully interested, I go elsewhere. That's just who I am. There's that. And then my hosting's going to be up in a bit. And really, I don't like asking for money. I don't want to pay for it, and I don't want to ask for money. I can't do it. I had people graciously give me money last year and this year for hosting, and that was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. It just causes me so much stress. I can't ask for any more money. I just can't. So why do those all factor into the decision? The truth is, I'm just done. My passion for the show is just not there. I'm ready to call it a day. I've given so much of myself to this community this last 6 years, and I'm done. Spent. It's my time. There will always be part of me that wants to continue because there are so many people that I haven't gotten the chance to talk to. Gosh, the last locationers, one of my all-time favorite league teams, Lin, Illis, and Goomba. I wish I got a chat with them. I can't list everyone because there's too many. I'm sad I won't have like Leaf on the show or Hitman or GFE. So many really cool people that I would like to get to know more, like TJ Joel or A0, Gilgamesh. It's time. It's time. Let me close it out with some house cleaning, some final thoughts and thank yous. Discord, the 216 Discord, not going anywhere. I love the little community we have here. Love chatting about sports and music. We've got the music playlists going again, and that's so much fun. Pretty much anything but rando. The Discord will stay open and alive as long as the community is around for it, which I hope people stick around. It will be pretty much the only way to find me in Discord. The podcast webpage and feed will eventually go away, but I have the entire show archived on a new Tumblr site, 216pod.tumblr.com. It won't show up on any podcast feeds, but you can download all of the episodes there. I have them hosted on my Box server. The URL, 216pod.com. will eventually point to that archive. So that will be there. Past shows will be there. We'll have links in the Discord. Then, of course, the 216pod.com will eventually point there as well. I'm not leaving the community. I still plan to try and fit in some commentary here and there, especially for the league. I'll be in the 216 Discord. Hell, I may join a pickup race or two. So won't be around as much. And to be honest, I'm already not around that much. So this isn't a full goodbye from the old Fear Agent. I do have a new podcast that will be coming out this fall with my old podcasting partner, Ryan Miller, from our Sidetrack podcast days. We did that for like 14 years. So hook him back up, do something different. So if you want more from me, Jesse, talking movies, I will have a link to that show when it gets up and running in the 216 Discord. Not gaming related at all, so no offense if you don't listen. We'll have nothing to do with Link to the Past. We're going to be talking about movies. So yeah, if you still want some more podcasts from me, you can go there. Finally, some thank yous. You don't get a chance to do this often, but there are quite a few people I want to thank. And my show, I get to do what I want with it. That's kind of what I've done the last few years with the show. We did the drafts. We did interviews with multiple people. So this is how I want to end it, with thank yous. Let's start with Sigma. And no one has given me more support the last 6 years than this guy. He's the reason the league has grown and thrived. Honestly, it's blame Sigma. He's the reason the league is awesome. I was glad I was able to leave it in such amazing hands. And I imagine it's only going to continue to get better. Sigma, thank you, dude, for everything. I really appreciate you and your friendship. Thanks for hanging in stream with me through my first awful Kroski seed, that Aga Ped monstrosity that took me like 4 hours. Really appreciate you, dude. Claire Mouse, the best mouse. You've been an amazing co-com, partner in crime, and friend. Appreciate who you are and all you've done for me and the community. No one does it better. Oro and Amerith, two amazing people that have supported me throughout the years. Just kind and helpful and the best people. Thanks for your help and friendship. Both of you are awesome. Glad I was able to meet you both at SGL this last year. The league admins, Dante, Ralkin, and Drossi. You all helped me when I needed help the most. And I will always appreciate you guys for coming on and taking the league to new heights. Leoria, one of the biggest regrets about the show coming to close is I don't get to chat with you about editing the show. It's been a huge blessing to me in the show and appreciate all the time you put in and making the show way better. Like, you improved it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Leoria. You're awesome. To Rick and the Speed Gaming crew, thanks for taking on the league when everything was new. You helped it grow. You got eyes on it and gave really good support. Really appreciate that. Rick, especially, you're just a cool dude, man. Glad to have finally met you, SGL. I don't think he listens, but thanks to the Boker, P-Flan, Wayne, Jem, the PogChamp crew. You dudes made me feel welcome and always looked up to you guys, even though I'm probably old enough to be your guys' dad. By the way, I hate mystery, so thanks for nothing. Big shouts to Scottish Brave and her whole crew of new, but not really new people. You brought in a whole bunch of awesome people that reignited a passion in the game for me. So keep being awesome. All you people that would be considered Scratch Braids people, you know who you are. Zelga, Shady, Blaine, Andy, Matt, 7898, Ramon, you guys are the best of the best. You all play the game in a way that I wish I could achieve, both in skill and approach. Of the way you just enjoy the game, but you're also just damn good. The GGW crew, that's what I'm going to call them. Homemade Beer, Peach Rain, GFE, Zero Rush, Learn, Wall Kicks, Megawatt, Moogle, Julo, Zafflin, GGW. I'll be back. Huge thanks to Tracy M, one of my favorite co-coms. Thanks for doing an awesome job hosting here. It was so cool having you fill in for me. Loved listening to those episodes and brought in people that I couldn't have gotten. Just thanks for being an awesome person. I'm glad we were able to do live comms at SGL. The best. Moogle Charm. I don't know if there's anyone that I can relate to more in this community. We've both had to play against Gamachu so much, man, and so frustrating losing to that guy all the time. You've been an awesome friend and encouragement. Appreciate all you've done for me, including hosting the show and what may be the best episode with Zaf. Go Bears, dude. Every guest that's come on the show, thank you so much. No idea how much it meant for me for each and every one of you to take your time and share your story and be real and honest and vulnerable. I loved it. Really can't thank you all enough. Like, there is no show without the guests. So thank you. To the Go Mode crew, thanks for supporting the show. It's always been a blast guesting on your show and glad I was able to have all three of you on here. Always appreciate you guys shouting 216 out when you did. All awesome dudes. I'm excited to see what you guys have up in store next. Whatever it may be. To Shireen, my homeboy, my brother. And just like my real life brother, we've laughed, cried, we fought and argued. And I'm so glad I get to call you my friend. I legit could have fathered you because you're only 15, but seriously, thanks for always being there and being one of my all-time favorite people and friends, dude. Really appreciate it. To my partner in crime, the leave TR to go to Hobo for the ice rod, compadre Gamachu. I hate that you always beat me, dude. Seriously, you're too good. You're too damn good, man. I might still be playing this game if it wasn't for you. Every time I lost to you, just a little bit chipped away, which was often. I never beat you, so. But seriously, thanks for being me, hermano, amigo, and encouragement. Thanks for carrying me the last 6 years as I've tricked people into thinking that I'm actually good at this game. Lastly, to you, the listener, thanks for making it this far. Thanks for coming on this journey. Thanks for sharing your thoughts about the show in the Discord. Just thanks for listening. If I didn't mention you, I'm sorry. This is already super long. I just know that I appreciate you. This has been tough. This has been tough for me to record. Like a normal rando seed, we weren't able to full clear the game and do all 216 checks, but we did hit go mode and defeat Ganon. Let the credits roll.